Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, we'll read verse 1 through 5. The Apostle John is speaking. He's telling of his vision where he was taken to heaven and he saw wonderful things. But he says, again, Revelation 19, verse 1 through 5, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah!" And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And a voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Heavenly Father, help us today as we study your word. We know that your word and your judgments are true and righteous altogether. Lord, help us to see Jesus Christ. Help us to understand what we read. Give us understanding. Help us to see the text for what it says. And help us to learn of you. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, we're in Malachi chapter 3, but just like last week, we won't even read from Malachi today at all. But our study, this is John the Baptist, part 40, and our detour into Malachi, part 12. So I said, John is in heaven, in some sort of vision. I don't know how that worked. But he saw great things. He saw Jesus standing before him in chapter 1, and Christ is described, and there's a lot of symbolism there. But he's taken through history, or through future history, if I can use that term. But in this scene, which is right before the return of Christ on that white horse and what have you, he said after those things, I guess in chapter 18, he heard a lot of people praising God. And he said hallelujah in verse 1 and hallelujah in verse 3 and hallelujah in verse 4. And as we'll read just a minute, hallelujah again in verse 6. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. But the focus is on God the Father and praising him for the things that he does. But it says, verse 6, I'm going to go to verse 10, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." And he's talking here about the church, which at this point is in heaven. And again, Jesus is just about to get on his steed, his white horse, and come back to earth. And the church is with him. But whoever is showing John, or leading him around and saying, "Hey, look at this, look at that," John says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." And whoever it was said, "Hey, don't do that." Let's say that again. Whoever was leading John around, John was so impressed, and this being was so knowledgeable and what have you, so righteous, so whatever, that John fell down, got on his hands and knees at the guy's feet, and the person, whoever it was, said, "Hey, see thou do it not. Don't worship me," he said, "for I'm thy fellow servant." I mean, John, you're a disciple. Well, I'm a disciple too. And I too preach the gospel and testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't worship me. Worship God. Worship God. You would think that John would get the message. You would think that John would have heard and learned his lesson and stopped worshiping men, people that had died and gone to heaven. "Don't worship anybody but God," he said. You would think that John learned his lesson. But in Revelation 22, I believe it's the last chapter of the Bible, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." And it says angel, but it wasn't an actual angel. But he said, "Hey, didn't you learn the first time? See thou do it not." Same thing, "for I'm thy fellow servant, and in fact, I'm one of the prophets, and of those that keep the sayings of this book." Hey, dude, don't worship me, worship God. Why didn't John learn the first time? And he screwed up twice. And too often today, we screw up. Some idolize those who are on television, telling us how we can have our best life today, or telling us that if we sow a seed, we'll get 100-fold return, or whatever. And we idolize them and almost worship them. You say, "Well, I don't think we worship people on TV." Yeah, but watch. We looked last time in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. He said, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." Commandment number 1, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And commandment number 2, "Thou shalt make unto thee no graven image." Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God. Hey, I'm the only one you need to worship. Just like John screwed up twice and was worshiping a man, we need to worship God and not a man or not a woman. And I'm speaking of Mary. Mary is just a woman, just a human. She said in the Magnificat, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." If she needed a Savior, then she's not worthy of worship. The fact is, she's in heaven today, and if we go to heaven and try to worship her, she would say no. Didn't you learn anything from John? Don't worship me. Worship God. Don't pray to me, she would say. In fact, in John chapter 2, it says in verse 1, it starts out, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." And I won't read the whole story, but it talks about they ran out of wine at this wedding, and they didn't know what to do. And in the end, and again, I won't read it, I'll tell you, but you know this story, that Jesus turned water into wine. But it says there was a marriage, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and so everybody was there, but they ran out of wine. And in verse 3, the mother of Jesus, Mary, said unto him, "Hey, Jesus, they ran out of wine. What are we going to do?" And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come." In other words, he had not started his public ministry, but she hurried him along. And his mother said unto the servants, "Hey, whatever he says to do, you do it." Let's say that again. Mary said, "Hey, whatever Jesus tells you to do, you do it." She pointed people to Christ. She couldn't turn the water into wine. She said, "Hey, but I know one who can." And I'm here to tell you today, I know one who can. Whatever trouble you have in life, you can't get off drugs, if your nephew's in prison, if whatever your trouble is, bring your problems to God. Worship God. Praise God. Pray to God. And whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In another place, he said that my commandments are not grievous or burdensome. If you want to follow God and do what he says, it's not hard to follow God. It's easy to follow God, he said. But let's look at another place. Mark chapter 3, verse 31 through 35. Again, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Then his brothers and his mother came, and they were standing outside the crowd, and they sent a message to him saying, 'Hey, we want to talk to you.'" And somebody said, "Hey, Jesus, you know, your mother and your brothers are out there. They want to talk to you." And he answered them saying, "Who is my mother? Or who are my brothers?" And it says he looked on everyone and said, "Hey, listen up. Behold my mother and my brothers." You guys are my mother and my brothers. And oh, by the way, he had sisters as well, the book says. "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother and my brother and my sister." Again, whatever Jesus tells you to do, Mary said, do that. And the two people in Revelation said to John, forget about us. You worship God. Oh, preacher, my church teaches this and that, and we ought to, well, I don't care about your church. I don't care. And next week you'll see that I don't care about my church, because next week I will teach against something my denomination says that I ought to believe and I ought to do. I'm an equal opportunity offender. But in Matthew chapter 6, and I'll run through it, but he addresses three categories of people. And really it's talking about the Pharisees, the self-righteous religious folk. But he says those that give, or give alms, or put money in the bucket or whatever, don't do it to be seen of men. And oh, by the way, those that pray, in verse 5 of Matthew 6, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men. And he says, truly I say unto you, they've already got their reward. God has ignored their prayer. God has ignored the money that they gave. And later it talks about fasting or going without food in an effort to afflict your body and your soul. Get hungry, whatever, and don't eat. But you say, instead of eating, I'm going to pray. That's called fasting. But he says, when you pray, go into a closet, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And the Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. You see, we pray to the Father. We don't pray to the bishop. We don't pray to the guy on TV. We don't pray to Peter. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to St. Christopher or whoever else. We pray to God. But when you pray, Jesus said again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. Don't say the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, because that's what the lost people, the heathens, do. They think that they'll be heard for their much speaking. But God says he doesn't hear them at all. Don't be like those that repeat things over and over and over again. Because he says that God knows what you need before you even ask. And the point is to trust God in your heart where nobody can see. Instead of waving your offering around, let's say, look at me, I'm going to go put in the bucket or whatever. Do things to God and not to be seen of men. But it says again and again and again here that you should pray and give and fast before God. And he says in verse 9 through 15, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which is in heaven. And he says, this is a model. This is not something to be repeated every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday. You know, in some churches, the guy says, we believe, and man, everybody's off to the races. And he can stand back and do whatever, and everybody knows what to say, and nobody listens to what they're saying. Nobody listens. They just repeat it again and again and again. But when you do pray, use this model. Lord, Father, you're in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, or praise your name. Things go pretty good up in heaven in your kingdom. Well, Lord, let that kingdom come down here and, in fact, start in my heart. And, Lord, let your will be done in earth, in my life. I want to obey you. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. Just like in heaven, when God snaps his fingers, an angel says, yes, sir, and goes, do it. There's no argument or back talk in heaven. There shouldn't be in our lives either. You can read the rest of this again. I guess you know it by heart, but that's the whole point. You're not supposed to know it by heart. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to forgive people. You're supposed to try to live right and stay out of temptation, etc. But if you get a chance, read it and think about it. Let it mean something to you. But it says if you forgive men, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Again, don't do vain repetitions, but pray according to this model in your heart. But very quickly, two more passages I want to look at. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking. He said in verse 12 through 14, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works, the miracles that I do, he shall do also. Now think about that. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead. Raised the dead. He said, if you believe on me, you can do these miracles too. And the obvious question is, well, how come we don't see miracles today? Maybe it's because we don't really believe on him like we ought to. Maybe we're involved in doing church things and not reading and understanding and obeying. But he says, if you believe on me, you'll do these works also, and greater works than I've ever done, you'll be able to do because I go to my Father. Again, he went to heaven. We know about the ascension. We know that Jesus is in heaven today with the Father. And he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We all want Jesus to look good. And in fact, God wants Jesus to look good. And the way to pray, he's saying, is you pray to the Father asking in my name. And the way that you make Jesus look good is to pray to the Father asking in my name, Jesus said. And God will be glorified in the Son. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We're supposed to pray to the Father in the name of, or through the agency of, Jesus. Lord, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he died for me. On that basis, Lord, please hear my prayer. Please do what I ask. Again, because of him and his righteousness and not mine. And the Father will be glorified in the Son. And John chapter 16, verse 19 through 24, we see the same thing. We see this same idea. He said in verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. And he's speaking of when Jesus died. And in the disciples' hearts, it was as if they died. The Messiah is come. Oh, and he's been with us 3.5 years or however long, and there have been miracles left and right and wonderful Sermon on the Mount and all that stuff. But oh, the Messiah's dead. And they died in their hearts, as it were. All hope gone. But he says, after I've done this, in verse 23, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is the right way to pray. This is how to pray. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus and forget about all those patron saints, because if you want to glorify the Father, you keep your eyes on Jesus, the Son. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.